Well, praise the Lord. Welcome to the broadcast today. This is Apostle Curtis Lewis. Today, we're going to teach a message entitled, The Doctrine That Jesus Taught. Most of the people that get up and say they're preaching for Jesus in our day and time say they're preaching his gospel. But when we look at what Jesus taught and we look at what the modern day preachers are teaching, it don't sound nothing like Jesus Christ. We're on the radio today to try to encourage you to try every spirit. The Bible says in 1 John 4 verse 1, try the spirits whether they be of God. You need to know whether a person is of God or whether a person is not of God. The Bible said many false prophets are going out into the world. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 1, the Bible says, in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. If you don't want to be seduced by doctrines of devils and you don't want to depart from the faith, then do exactly what the Bible says. It says to try the spirits whether they be of God. I always teach that the way you try a spirit is, first of all, you have to have the Holy Spirit living within you. And if you have the Holy Spirit living within you, the Bible says in 1 John 2:27 that the anointing that you have received abideth in you, and you need not that any man should teach you, but that the same anointing teaches you of all things and is true. The Holy Ghost in you is the greatest teacher, and if someone is teaching from without, the Holy Ghost from within will tell you yea or nay to that teaching. So the first thing you need is the Holy Spirit living within you. You have to be born of God's Spirit. And if you're born of God's Spirit, His Holy Ghost has entered your life. And the second thing you need is the Bible. Hallelujah. The Holy Bible. I love the King James, the old King James version, and the Holy Ghost. And I think that'll get the job done. Glory to God. John 17:7, Jesus said, thy word is truth. So if you got the Holy Bible from Genesis to Revelation and the Holy Ghost, you can try every spirit to see whether it be of God or not. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, that they tried the Apostle Paul. The Bible said they went search the scriptures to see if what Paul was saying was so. Now, you know, when these people checked out the Apostle Paul, the scripture said that they was called noble for doing it. Glory to God. And so if they checked out one of the greatest teachers of all Christianity, then what teacher you shouldn't check out? I want to say, according to the Bible, check every preacher out, including myself. Amen. This is a very deceiving time we're living in, and there's all kinds of doctrines in the church. There are preachers preaching that there is no such thing as sinless perfection. Sinless perfection just simply means holy. The Bible said, be ye holy, for I am holy. Amen. And holy is void of sin. Glory to God. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter 4, we've been born of God in righteousness and true holiness. Scripture said we've been born after God. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And the Bible said, and all things are of God. Don't let no modern day preacher fool you that we still have a sin nature. No, you do not have a sin nature. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1 all the way down to verse 8. And if you read these scriptures, you'll find that the Bible said we were by nature. That means that nature is gone. It's in the past. It's destroyed. God has taken a sin nature out of you, and you're not sinning by no sin nature. Now, if you sin because you choose to, and you did it because of your own lust. The Bible says every man is tempted when he's drawn of his own lust. You can't blame it on a sin nature, and if you're a Christian, you shouldn't be sinning. Paul said, 1 Corinthians 15:34, awake to righteousness and sin not. That scripture would not be in the Bible if you cannot stop sinning. 1 John 2:1, the Bible said, these things have I written unto you that you sin not. That scripture would not be in there if you can't live a life without sin. Psalms 4:4, it says, stand in awe and sin not. Every time I seen Jesus preaching and telling or healing people, he said, go and sin no more. The Bible says in Galatians 2:17, is Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. So there's a lot of teaching in the church today, or in what we call the church, and it's incorrect. When you look at these scriptures in context, you don't see a lot of these things that are being taught and a lot of these things that modern day major preachers are teaching and preaching. And so that's why we are challenging the body of Christ, especially those who serve under certain leaders. Amen. And I always say you should love your leader, especially if that leader is teaching you correctly and if that leader is pastoring you and watching over your soul. You should love them and you should pray for them and support them. But you have to test every leader. And if that leader is not teaching the truth, you need to pray and ask God to give you a leader that's going to teach you the Bible line upon line, precept upon precept, because there are many false prophets out here, and a lot of them are not really true leaders that are telling you you can't stop sinning, telling you you still have a sin nature. Many of them are telling you you don't have to keep God's commandments no more. There is nowhere in the Bible where it teaches you you don't have to keep God's Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments, I call it the Constitution of the New Testament and the Old Testament. And it is. Glory to God when you search the Scriptures. So there's a lot of teaching. There's a lot of things that's being twisted. The Bible says in Ephesians 4 verse 11, starting at verse 11, it says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure and the stature and the fullness of Christ, that we be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men." When these gifts, called the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, is out of order, then they create chaos and they create winds of doctrine, which mean there's a spirit behind the doctrine they teaching. That's why it says wind of doctrine. These spirits are nothing but demonic powers that's causing men to teach doctrine. And it says by the sleight of men. The sleight of men is simply taking the word of God and teaching it with a slight twist. The Bible teaches that there's a five office ministry, and that five office ministry have to be in apostolic order. There is no other order in the New Testament. And if you find one, I would like to see it. Amen. The order that God put these gifts in is called apostolic order. And I'm saying apostolic by virtue of the calling that was upon our master's life, according to Hebrews 3 and verse 1. It says that we are partakers of the heavenly calling, and the heavenly calling is the apostle. Amen. Jesus was the chief apostle, the chief of chief. Amen. And so all the church, all the believers are apostolic. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, the Bible says that, "And he set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers." Glory to God. These five office ministers are supposed to be in apostles' order. Ask your preacher, do you have an apostle in his life? If he's not an apostle, who is the apostle in his life? Everyone need to be in apostolic order. Don't let no one sell you the lie that there are no more apostles now. No, there's no more founding apostles, but there are still the office of apostle in the church. Amen. The Bible says he set some in the church. He didn't set some in a certain age. He set them in the church. First apostle, secondary prophet, thirdly teachers. So it's important that you try every spirit. And if a preacher is ministering to you and he's out of order, then his doctrine is going to be out of order. Glory to God. I just want to share that with you at the beginning. But let's get into the word now. And I want to teach the doctrine that Jesus taught. Glory to God. I want you to go to Hebrews 6. And we're going to begin reading at verse 1. Look at what the Bible says. It says, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God." Amen. Now, notice that the Bible is clear that we have to leave the principles of the doctrine of Christ. There are principles regarding Christ's life, and there are principles regarding his doctrine. And I want to talk a little bit about those principles, because Paul said here, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection." And according to other scriptures, he's talking about moving on in perfection, because when we're born again, we're born in righteousness and true holiness. Glory to God. And that is a perfect birth that God has given us. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new, and all things are of God. You have a perfect birth. Now all you need is someone to tutor you in the word of God and take you on in that perfection. Glory to God. And the first thing you're going to need is to get the principles of the doctrine of Christ down packed in your life. Because Paul is saying here in Hebrews 6:1, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Let us go on in perfection. Now, you can't go on in perfection if you don't have the principles of the doctrine of Christ down packed. Glory to God. So that's why we want to take some time and we want to spend some time teaching along these lines so that you can be everything God wants you to be. And don't let no one fool you that there's no such thing as being perfect. Perfect, according to God's definition, is Luke 6:40. It says, everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. And in 1 John 2:6, the Bible said, if we claim that we are in him, we ought to walk even as he walked. That's perfect. Hallelujah. And if you say you can't walk like him, if you say you can't live like him, if you say you can't think like him, if you say you can't feel like him, then you don't have him. Glory to God. Because if you have the same spirit that was upon our Lord and within our Lord, then you can do the things that he did. The Bible said, greater works you shall do. Amen. And the Bible says you have the same light. He said, I'm the light of the world. And as long as you follow me, you shall not walk in darkness. Hallelujah. Then he turned around and said in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Hallelujah. So you can live exactly like him. Now, let's go back and look at the scripture real closely. Again, he said, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Now, when he said therefore, he's making reference to something that he just said. That's why the word therefore, amen, is placed in this verse. Now, we're going to back up to Hebrews 5 and see what he was saying. And amen, keep in mind when the letter went out, there were no chapters. The chapters and verses was put in so that we can locate different things in the word of God. But this is one letter. And so let's back up in the letter into what we call chapter 5 to see what he was talking about before he used the word therefore. Amen. And keep in mind, he said, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Now, let's find out what the principles of the doctrine of Christ is all about. Okay, let's go to Hebrews 5, and we're going to look closely at what he's saying. Glory to God. Hebrews 5, and we're going to begin reading at verse 10. It says, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. I want to encourage you today to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Glory to God. I know we've been taught all kinds of things. I know we've been taught different messages from different preachers. But empty yourself of everything and let God teach you all over again, because if you're not walking like Christ, living like Christ, and living with no sin at all in your life, then something is wrong. Because the Bible teach us that when he come, let him that is filthy be filthy still. Let him that is righteous be righteous still. The word of God teach us in 2 Peter 3, beginning at verse 11, it says, seeing then all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be? Then he tell you, in all holy conversation, all, A-L-L, every bit of it has to be holy. Then he said, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Watch this. Nevertheless, according to his promise, we look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace. Now watch this. Without spot and blameless. That is the way we're going to have to be found when Jesus come. Now, if that is the way we're going to have to be found when Jesus come, amen, it stands to reason that that's the way, glory to God, you're going to have to be living. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. So you got to be living holy when Jesus come. You can't get holy. Hallelujah. And if that's the way you're going to have to be living, then I want you to give ear to how to get there. Amen. And if you're not there, then I don't want you to be dull of hearing. So don't close me off and just reevaluate everything you've been taught. And like I said, there are many preachers preaching that nobody can live like this. Guess what? If a preacher tell you that can't nobody live without sin, that preacher telling you he's sinning. Hallelujah. And so I want you to understand that. And I want you to begin to think that the minister is not telling you the truth. Amen. The Bible is true. And if the Bible said when Jesus come, we're going to have to be found spotless and without blemish. And then 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 says, "And I pray God that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord." Now, all of these scriptures saying we have to be blameless. And in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 25 through verse 27, it says that he's coming back for a church without spot, without wrinkle or any such thing. And I can go on and on and on and keep quoting scriptures to you. But I stopped, amen, in the course of my thought to share with you to give ear and don't be dull of hearing and hear my heart and hear the scriptures today and look at your own life. If you are not where the scriptures tell us we need to be, then don't be dull of hearing. Hallelujah. Empty yourself of everything you think you know and then begin to know the truth. The Bible said you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. So let's go back to Hebrews now. And I want to finish my thought, but I wanted to share with you, please don't be dull of hearing, because Jesus is coming and he's coming back for a holy church, a righteous church. And you can live holy inside and out, in your thoughts, in your emotions, in your life, 100%, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, all the time. Glory to God. And it is not a strain. I've been serving God some 37 years now, going on 37 years. And some of those years I struggled, and I know what it means to struggle, but I'm not there anymore. God has done a great work in my life, and I'm here today on this radio reaching out to you, trying to minister to your spirit, soul, and body, and tell you there is a life of walking in the spirit. Galatians 5:16 said, "This I say then, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Brethren, these scriptures are true. So don't let some false preacher tell you that it's not true. Don't let some preacher tell you no such thing as sinless perfection. Nobody is perfect. Everybody gonna sin, and there is no more law. You don't have to keep God's commandments. And no, these are lies that came from the pit. And these are seducing spirits. And I'm coming against these seducing spirits and doctrines of devils by the word of God through this radio today to tell you that there is a life of walking in the spirit. But don't be dull of hearing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's try to finish here in Hebrews. Hallelujah. God want to speak to you, but he don't want you to be dull of hearing. So Paul said again, he said, "Call of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again." Now, he's talking to the Jewish-minded people. A lot of these Jews had accepted Jesus, and now they was returning back to their old ways of offering bulls and goats and all of these different things. And keep in mind, even though he's talking to the Jewish-minded people, he's also talking to Christians. The scriptures is to the Jew first and also to the Gentiles. So don't let some modern day grace revolution preacher tell you that the book of Hebrews is not for the Christian church. No, everything in these scriptures are for the Christian church and for the Jew as well. The Bible says in Romans 15, verse 4, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime was written for your learning." Glory to God, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. So all of it is for us. Amen. So now Paul is telling these Jewish-minded Christians, as well as the Christians in general, He said, when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again. Now watch what he said. Which be the first principles of the oracles of God. Notice he said, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. Now, when you see the oracles of God, I want you to know that the scripture is making reference to the Ten Commandments. In our day and time, the Ten Commandments has gotten a bad rap from many major ministers, or many courts have kicked them out. Many schools have kicked them out. People have kicked them out of their home. Now preachers are preaching them out of the church. But let me tell you what, these Ten Commandments going to be here all the way through life, and they're going to meet us when we die. You will never get away from God's Ten Commandments. And when you see the word oracles, you are literally talking about Ten Commandments. Hallelujah. And if you need some other references, you can go to Acts chapter 7, verse 38 through 39. Luke called them the lively oracles that was received when God met Moses on Mount Sinai and gave him these ten lively oracles, these Ten Commandments, and gave them to the people. He's making reference to the Ten Commandments. Glory to God. So in the book of Acts, chapter 7, verse 38 through 39, and we may make reference to this again. And if you go to Romans, chapter 3, verse 1 through verse 3, you'll see Paul making reference to the oracles of God. And this is what made the Jews such a special people, because unto them was given the oracles of God. These oracles of God made them special, glory to God, because they received them first. And the Bible says that they was chiefly recognized to be a valued people because they had received these oracles. And then in those same verses, if you read it in context, Romans chapter 3, verse 1 through verse 3, he called those lively oracles the faith of God, because he said, what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? He called these oracles the faith of God. And now in the New Testament, we move from faith to faith. We move from the faith of God on stones to the faith of God written in our hearts. Because in Hebrews chapter 10, it says, this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will write my laws in their hearts. Let me tell you something. The covenant is the laws of God written in your heart. That's what the scriptures say. You'll hear a lot of the modern day cross preachers saying that Jesus Christ himself is the covenant. But you don't find no scripture that specifically say that. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of them teach that because they try to put the responsibility of these Ten Commandments back on Jesus. But Jesus went to the cross, shedded his blood to take sin out of your life, take that sin nature out, to take that Adamic nature out, make you a brand new creature so now you can be responsible to God. Jesus has become the mediator of this New Testament. And the Ten Commandments is the covenant, amen, between you and God. You are now responsible before God to keep these commandments and to walk in them. So don't let these modern day cross preachers sell you a bag of lies by saying that Jesus himself is the covenant. No, the covenant is the Ten Commandments written in your heart. And now you can live them because you're a new creature. You're born again, and according to Ezekiel 36, verse 27, the Bible said he's going to give you a new heart. He's going to take away that stony heart and give you a new heart, a heart of flesh. And other verses teach and tell us that he's going to write his laws upon the heart. And now the Bible says you can keep God's statutes and do them. Hallelujah. Why would God give you a new birth so you can do them and now tell you you don't have to do them? You don't have to keep them. Jesus gonna do it for you. No, Jesus did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. The Bible says when we was without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. Amen. Now, we didn't do nothing to get this sin out of our life. We didn't do nothing. We was without strength. We couldn't help ourselves. We couldn't save ourselves. But Jesus went to that cross and saved us. Hallelujah. As you receive his spirit in your life, he, and when I say saved, he saved you from that dying state. But you got to walk in this all the way to the end if you want to be saved in the end, according to 1 Peter 1:9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. Matthew 24, Jesus said, unto him that endure to the end, the same shall be saved. So you got to be responsible now that Jesus have taken that sin out your life and taken that Adamic nature out of your life. But the modern day cross preachers, I tell you, no, that he going to do it for you. No, Jesus wants you to do it for yourself now with the power of the Holy Ghost in you. Hallelujah. It's nothing magical about obeying God. Let me read a verse to you from Revelation, the last book of the Bible. Revelation 22, verse 16, it says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. Notice he said churches, plural, every church, every local church. Jesus sent his angel to testify to John these things. Now let's look at what things he testified unto John. Look at Revelation 22, verse 14. He said, blessed are they that do his commandments, plural, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Now, if I, Jesus, testified these things, how you gonna let some preacher tell you that you don't have to keep God's commandment? How you gonna let some preacher tell you that Jesus is the covenant, which means Jesus gonna do it for you? No, Jesus cleansed you and gave you a new heart, gave you his spirit, and said, now your righteousness have to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. Now that he has made you righteous, you're going to have to walk righteous now. You're going to have to walk in this covenant. You're going to have to keep God's commandments. If you break one of these commandments, you can't break these commandments and remain holy. These commandments cause us to be holy because we're born of these commandments. Amen. But if you don't keep them, there's no way you can remain in holiness, and you can still lose your soul if you break God's commandments. So I want you to know that you need to keep God's commandments. So let's get back to our thoughts. Amen. So we're just flowing in the Holy Ghost, but I want you to keep up with me. Amen. And after this teaching is over, you'll be able to go to our website. You can go back and listen to some of the things over and over again. You can stop the player if you like. Amen. All of our teaching online is absolutely free. You can download it. The Bible tells us freely we receive, freely we give. Amen. So we make it absolutely free to you. Glory to God. And for those who want to be a support to the ministry, you can. The Bible said that if we've ministered unto you our spiritual things, it is your duty to minister back of your carnal things. The Bible said, communicate to them that teach in all good things. So we're going to leave that between you and God and let you be responsible. But I'm going to keep this gospel free of charge so you can go and receive all the teaching you like. Glory to God. So I know we flow here and there and go to scripture because the Bible said the way you teach a doctrine is line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. This is how we have to teach a doctrine, because all the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation have to match. Don't let somebody take a message and try to make you think it's the truth, but it don't match other things in the scriptures. So I want you to see that everything match in the Word of God. Well, praise the Lord. We're just about out of time. That's it for today. I thank you for tuning in. I want to encourage you to go to our website for more free teaching at www.someonecaresministry.org. That's www.someonecaresministry.org. Apostle Lewis said, we love you. Thank God for you. See you on the next broadcast.